Welcome to the Minor League Radio Podcast, your source for what to think. From politics to pro wrestling, pop culture to progressive metal, confusing rhetoric, chronic masturbation, religion, rashes in inconvenient places, and of course the gold standard in pornography criticism. Gather around now your digital player of choice and enjoy the musings of your perpetually confused host. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Gardner.
I bid you greetings, noble citizens. It is I, Jim Gardner, at the helm of the Minor League Radio Podcast once again. Well, first off, I want to thank everybody who listened to the first podcast. Not everybody agreed with what I have to say. That's to be expected. But everybody who communicated with me said that they enjoyed listening. Thank you. That is the point. I am passionate about the things I believe in, and I will try to talk about the issues and news of the day as deeply as I possibly can. But the bottom line is that I don't take myself very seriously at all. And this is ultimately supposed to be fun. Something you can listen to in the car on the way to work or listen to while you're dropping a deuce. Perfect for that, actually. I'm a potty mouth and my sense of humor tends to be, well, disgusting.
How very interesting. You're a true vulgarian, aren't you?
You're the vulgarian, you fuck!
But it's just jokes. Not trying to be the next great political or philosophical voice, which I have and will continue to demonstrate with this podcast. So looking back on the first podcast, it kind of seemed like it was all politics all the time. So we'll get to some political and more hard newsy stuff a little bit later. But I wanted to kick off the festivities today with some other things that I'm passionate about. First off, though, I want to give a shout out to a guy named Gavin McInnes. He writes for a blog that I can't remember the name of it, but he was a guest on a show on Fox News called Red Eye. It is a show that you should be watching. It is wonderful. It is hilarious, but it is on at like 2 in the morning, so 2 or 3 in the morning, depending on your time zone. So set your DVRs. It's worth it. Anyway, Mr. McInnes was wearing a King Diamond t-shirt on the show. Now, if you don't know who King Diamond is, he was the singer for a very influential and very cool band in the 80s called Merciful Fate. They were very influential on all different types, all different genres, subgenres of metal, like black metal and death metal, even progressive metal. They weren't really any of those things. They were more of a power proggy, you know, power metal with a dash of prog in a similar vein to Iron Maiden. Guy had a real high, screechy voice, still does, I should say. He's still alive and kicking, and he wore all this cool makeup. You know, he had the black and white, kind of a precursor to black metal's corpse paint. He had an upside-down cross on his forehead and said he was an avowed Satanist, and very controversial, but very, very cool. So to see Mr. McInnes rocking the King Diamond t-shirt on a nationally broadcast News Digest-type program, well, that's just aces in my book, so rock on, Mr. McInnes. Now, this podcast isn't just going to be about politics. It's about the things that I am passionate about. And one of the things that I am most passionate about is music, and specifically hard rock and heavy metal music. Now, some biographical information on me by way of, in the interest of providing a little background, there's basically two things that I've done with my adult life to date. One is radio, and the other is playing guitar. And since 90% of radio people are frustrated musicians, I am a walking cliché. I've played guitar for about 25 years now, and I'm pretty good at it. You know, I'm not world class, but I'm good. I've played in bands, I've written songs, I've recorded those songs, and become wildly poverty-stricken for my efforts. But there's really nothing I'm more passionate about than music. Heavy metal's the bread and butter, that's kind of what, you know, pumps through my veins. But I see the value in almost all musical expression, whether it's metal or jazz or country or hip-hop or classical. It's all good in my book. Although I struggle with that Bieber kid. Yep, still trying to find out the value of Justin Bieber's shit. You know, one of his songs came on the radio the other day and I was too far away to change the station. I woke up in the hospital. Apparently I lapsed into a sugar coma.
The Minor League Radio Podcast.
Now, all of that is a preface to this. One of the biggest stories in the music industry right now is the fact Van Halen is back, dude! And with David Lee Roth on vocals, yay! They have a new song called Tattoo. Now, I don't love Van Halen, but I like Van Halen. But when I heard this new tune, it left me a little flat. Luckily, I played in a band called Stall 68 with another guitar player named Chris Bolingmo. He is an awesome guy, one of my favorite people, and he was able to sum up the angst that many Van Halen fans seem to be feeling with a review that is a gentle chiding of Eddie and the boys' recent effort. With his permission, I present it for you now. Dear Van Halen, where to begin? Van Halen should be charged with crimes against humanity for using biological warfare. Tattoo. What an absolute embarrassment. Why in the name of Christ Almighty would you submit your fans, hell, anybody, to this atrocity you're trying to pass off as music? Eddie, I heard every guitar lick you ever used all rolled up into one regurgitated papier-mâché turd that you obviously put very little effort into polishing. And David Lee Roth. The fact that you thought your vocals, that cancer-inducing ear vomit, was even comparable to refried contents of a year-old recycled colostomy bag is a disgrace to not only the entire genre of rock and roll and the likes thereof, but all music ever created since the dawn of time, sir. Eddie and David, do yourselves, your fans, music listeners, and anybody who has the capability of detecting any audio stimuli of any kind a favor. Punch each other in the face repeatedly until you have both slipped into a quiet, peaceful coma. And Alex, if one goes out before the other, strike the one that is still conscious with your gong mallet until said level of consciousness is achieved. My condolences to all of you who are or were Van Halen fans. Sammy Hagar never sounded so good. Good stuff there, Chris. I don't know if I hated it that much, but damn, it ain't that good.
MinorLeagueRadio.com.
Break yourself, fool!
MinorLeagueRadio.com.
Alrighty, on to some news. First off, my boy Newt kicked ass, took names, and won himself the South Carolina primary over the weekend. How did he do this, you ask? He's the most vilified politician of the past 30 years. Well, he did it by being an awesomely awesome debater, dude. Let's relive one of the greatest moments in American politics of this young century, shall we?
A direct, fresh character attack on the Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, I want to start with that this evening. As you know, your ex-wife gave an interview to ABC News and another interview with the Washington Post, and this story has now gone viral on the internet. In it, she says that you came to her in 1999, at a time when you were having an affair. She says you asked her, sir, to enter into an open marriage. Would you like to take some time to respond to that?
No, but I will. I think the destructive, vicious, negative nature of much of the news media makes it harder to govern this country, harder to attract decent people to run for public office. And I am appalled that you would begin a presidential debate on a topic like that.
Is that all you want to say, sir?
Let me finish.
Please.
Every person in here knows personal pain. Every person in here has had someone close to them go through painful things. To take an ex-wife and make it 2 days before the primary a significant question in a presidential campaign is as close to despicable as anything I can imagine. My two daughters wrote the head of ABC and made the point that it was wrong, that they should pull it. And I am frankly astounded that CNN would take trash like that and use it to open a presidential debate.
As you noted, Mr. Speaker, this story did not come from our network. As you also know, it is a subject of conversation on the campaign. I get your point. I take your point.
John, it was repeated by your network. You chose to start the debate with it. Don't try to blame somebody else. You and your staff chose to start this debate with it. Let me be quite clear. The story is false. Every personal friend I have who knew us in that period says the story was false. We offered several of them to ABC to prove it was false. They weren't interested because they would like to attack any Republican. They're attacking the governor. They're attacking me. I'm sure they'll presently get around to Senator Santorum and Congressman Paul. I am tired of the elite media protecting Barack Obama by attacking Republicans.
Now, I have a few thoughts on this. One, the question was perfectly legitimate to ask. While I question the timing of the Marianne Gingrich interview, it was the topic of discussion among the punditry, so CNN's John King was absolutely within his rights to ask the question. And I'm not sure if it should have been the lead-off question, but whatever. I think Gingrich came off a little strong at King personally, but I so get his point. I went into this on the last podcast, but the general perception, at least as far as I've seen it, is that Republicans hit their knees at night and are like, Lord Jesus, my sovereign, my Lord and Savior, thank you for making me richer and for making the poor poorer. And Lord, please, in your name, I just ask that you make me richer tomorrow than I was today. And not only richer, Lord, Heavenly Father, not only richer, but give me more money that should have gone to the poor, Lord. Therefore, you are glorified, and I am glorified, and we're all richer. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm telling you, that's the perception. And this is entirely because of the mainstream media. There is a bias. I've seen polling data that says like 80 to 90% of journalists are admitted Democrats. How can there not be a bias? But even if you take the news media out of the equation, the overwhelming majority of people who produce the content we consume in this country are left of center and often hostile to conservative thought. Think about it. Of all the TV and the movies you see, of all the musicians you listen to or hear interviewed, when they make a political point, how often are they ripping Democrats or left-wing thought? If you answered seldom to never, well, you'd be
correctamundo.
Now, I'm not as conservative as I once was. I mean, I'm still right-wing, don't get me wrong, but I'm not as right-wing as I once was. But one of the big reasons I became a Limbaugh-listening neocon was the fact that I walked around with this constant low-grade guilt for thinking the way I thought. I now realize that being conservative does not make you racist, or sexist, or homophobic, or a Nazi, or a fascist, or a baby-slaughtering sewer monster. More than any other conservative politician, Gingrich attacks these assumptions about conservatives, and he has the intellectual heft to back up his arguments. Is Newt flawed? Yep. But we're in an age now where we can't expect politicians to lead perfect lives. It's a total double standard. Bill Clinton gets blown in the White House, uses an intern as a humidor, then lies to Congress about it, and people are like, eh, whatever. He's the first black president, man. You know, Obama probably would take issue with that title now, but that's what they called him back in the day. Gingrich had affairs. I'm not going to sit here and defend him on that, but I distinctly remember him being asked at some point earlier about his infidelities. And he said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, look, I've made mistakes, and I've asked for forgiveness and made peace with who I need to make peace with. So the people of America are just going to have to decide whether or not I'm qualified to be president. Exactly. It's not so much about personal behavior anymore as it is about what ideas are you going to implement for the country. And by the way, if you took me and stuck me into the Washington, D.C. bubble, gave me a little power and visibility, which I've heard a lot of psychologists say is very attractive to women, then surround me with a bunch of college-age interns who think I'm the shiz, and yeah, I'm probably going to get me some. I fall short of my personal standards on a daily basis, so, you know, it's probably for the best that I spend most of my time in my parents' basement. You know, and another thing, men do not get nearly enough credit for not just forming roving bands of rape-minded zombies, because we want to fuck every woman all the time. If you see your man, or any guy for that matter, and he doesn't have his hand on his dick, or he isn't banging somebody, you should pat him on the back and say, good job, because we struggle with our collective peni all the damn time, and we could use the positive affirmation. Now, where was I? Oh yeah, Gingrich. You know, in spite of his flaws, he's the best conservative thinker in the field right now, and until Romney actually gets the nomination, which I think he will, Gingrich is my guy. I'm not ashamed.
A perfect compliment for dental work. Or having a boil lance.
My penis? My buttocks?
The Minor League Radio Podcast.
Okay, and the other big story, the death of Joe Paterno. This out of State College, AP story. Happy Valley was perfect for Joe Paterno, a place where Joe Pa knew best, where he not only won more football games than any other major college coach, but won them the right way, with integrity and sportsmanship. A place where character came first, championship second. Behind it all, however, was an ugly secret that ran counter to everything the revered coach stood for. Paterno, a sainted figure at Penn State for almost half a century, but scarred forever by the child sex abuse scandal that led to his stunning dismissal, died Sunday at age 85. Mountain Indy Medical Center said that Paterno died of a metastatic small cell carcinoma of the lung. His family released a statement on Sunday morning to announce his death, quoting, "His loss leaves a void in our lives that will never be filled." He died as he lived, the statement continued. He fought hard until the end, stayed positive, thought only of others, and constantly reminded everyone of how blessed his life had been. His ambitions were far-reaching, but he never believed he had to leave Happy Valley to achieve them. He was a man devoted to his family, his university, his players, and his community. Paterno built a program based on the credo, success with honor, and he found both. The man known as Joe Pa won 409 games and took the Nittany Lions to 37 bowl games and two national championships. More than 250 of the players he coached went on to the NFL. He will go down as the greatest football coach in the history of the game, Ohio State coach Urban Meyer said. Paterno roamed the sidelines for 46 seasons, his thick-rimmed glasses, windbreaker, and jet-black sneakers as familiar as the Nittany Lions' blue and white uniforms. The reputation he built looked even more impressive because he insisted that on-field success not come at the expense of high graduation rates. But in the middle of his 46th season, the legend was shattered. Paterno was engulfed in a child sex abuse scandal when a former trusted assistant, Jerry Sandusky, was accused of molesting 10 boys over a 15-year span, sometimes in the football building. Outrage built quickly when the state's top cops said the coach hadn't fulfilled a moral obligation to go to the authorities when a graduate assistant, Mike McQueary, told Paterno he saw Sandusky with the young boy in the showers of the football complex back in 2002. At a preliminary hearing for school officials, McQueary testified that he had seen Sandusky attacking the child with his hands around the boy's waist, says he wasn't 100% sure it was intercourse. McQueary described Paterno as shocked and saddened and said the coach told him he had done the right thing by reporting the encounter. Paterno waited a day before alerting school officials and never went to the police. You know, McQueary didn't want to get specific, Paterno said, and to be frank with you, I don't know that it would have done any good because I'd never heard of rape and a man. So I just did what I thought was best, talked to people that I thought would be, if there was a problem, that would be following up on it. When the scandal erupted in November, Paterno said he would retire following the 2011 season, but the university trustees fired Paterno effective immediately. Graham Spanier, one of the longest-serving university presidents in the nation, was also fired. You know, this is tough. Did Paterno do enough with the information he had? Who knows? You know, I don't really have a lot for this. You know, Sandusky should be flogged if the allegations are true. Paterno, you know, I just think that it's sad that this incident is going to pollute all the good that he did, because it sounds like the guy just came from an era where he wasn't really given the mental tools to process this information and deal with it appropriately. So just a sad, sad story, and I feel bad for all the people involved.
The Minor League Radio Podcast.
All right, on to some goofy shit. A woman who once described herself as Joran Vandersloot's guardian angel says she was duped out of $75,000 by the admitted murderer's lawyer. Mary Hamer, a Florida radiologist who visited Vandersloot in Peru before his trial for killing Stephanie Flores, says Jose Luis Jimenez told her the money would cover the 24-year-old Dutch national's bail, according to Radar. So apparently that's what you need to do to get laid nowadays is kill other women. Hamer later learned that Vandersloot, who was sentenced to 28 years, was ineligible for bail. Now, Hamer is demanding a refund. Wow. Vandersloot tried to patch things up with his public admirer by sending her a handwritten letter in which he says he needs her continued support and pleads with her not to take any action against his lawyer. That according to CNN. In addition to keeping the money she's also given him, Vandersloot asked her for $1,000 to buy a new phone, quote, so he can communicate with her again. Man, this Vandersloot, he has got enormous balls. Big, big balls. Jimenez denied that he misled Hamer about the funds and claimed that he returned the money, despite Vandersloot's wish that he hold on to it. Hamer allegedly received an email from Vandersloot's mother, Anita Vandersloot, that said, some lives are not worth saving after the Peruvian judges handed down their sentence. You know you're bumming when your own mother says, fry the bastard.
You are physically repulsive, intellectually retarded, you're morally reprehensible, vulgar, insensitive, selfish, stupid, you have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell.
Well, you never know what you're going to get with Lady Gaga. Sometimes she's a greaser from New Jersey, sometimes she's an egg. Sometimes she's shockingly barefaced. Awash in turquoise, Gaga visited Friday night with Jonathan Ross, and in good form decided to bring a goat along with her. Yes, a goat. Well, why not? She talked about her sexuality, beginning the new album, being naked in front of Tony Bennett, and being a tramp. I guess I certainly wouldn't bring a goat with me if I was going to talk about my sexuality. Just too much room for misinterpretation.
Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and fuck my sister.
Wear protection. The Minor League Radio Podcast is a known carrier of herpes.
A Washington motorist was busted for making a boneheaded decision. He put a skeleton in the passenger seat so he could drive in the HOV lane. That's like the carpool lane. I love it when journalists tried to be funny. Skeleton, so he made a boneheaded decision. Get it? Because it's a skeleton, boneheaded. Oh, God. State patrolman made the grim discovery after pulling over driver Brian Stein for allegedly aggressive driving, or for alleged, excuse me, aggressive driving through Kent on December 20th. Although Stein used the carpool lane, the only companion in his silver Mazda was a green skeleton outfitted in a white sweatshirt. That's a violation of the rules for commuting in the high-occupancy vehicle corridor, a Washington State Patrol release said. Stein admitted he broke the rules, but said it was practically a matter of life and death. No, it wasn't. If your passenger is a skeleton, you're too late. You're not going to revive it. It's a heck of a commute, he said, though. He told the station about a 45-mile drive each way to work. Since my commute was so bad, I started thinking, blow-up doll, mannequin? I think either one of those would be better than a skeleton, dude. But Stein didn't stop at sneaking into the HOV lane. The highway patrol also claimed he drove at 82 miles an hour and made several unsafe lane changes. He was fined $454, including $124, for the skeleton-related charges. My question is, and I've looked at the video of this, and I've read a couple different versions of this story, where did he get the skeleton? Is this a Halloween prop that he had, or did he rob a grave and dig up an actual skeleton? That's what I want to know. You got a skeleton in your car, where the hell did you get it?
The Minor League Radio Podcast.
More goofy shit now. A new school in Utah looking for a team name and mascot won't be getting the Cougar, in part because of parents' complaints about the word's negative double entendre. Corner Canyon High School polled students in Draper, Utah, on what the team name should be for the school's opening in 2013, and 23% voted for the Cougars. Other potential mascots included Diamondbacks, Raptors, and Falcons. However, since the last board meeting, we have received numerous email messages and phone calls from parents and patrons in Draper asking us to reconsider the inclusion of Cougar as a mascot option. That, according to David S. Doty, the superintendent of Canyon School District, in a recent memo to the Board of Education. Opposition to the Cougars focuses on a concern that the mascot, combined with the school's blue-white-silver color scheme, will be too similar to Brigham Young University, and many also have commented that the negative double entendre of the word Cougar. Well, the board then voted unanimously to select the Chargers as the mascot, noting that no other high school in the state had it as one. This is amazing. Board members noted the alliteration of Corner Canyon Chargers. Corner Canyon Chargers or Corner Canyon Cougars? Which is the better alliteration? Really? You know, I'm beginning to think that we are led by idiots at every single level. There is not one level of government, from school boards to the Congress, that is not run by complete and utter morons. Corner Canyon Cougars, that's alliteration. Corner Canyon Chargers, not so much. The term cougar, or an older woman who dates younger men, gained notoriety with the television show Cougar Town, starring Courtney Cox. This is actually not really true. Cougar Town was an attempt to capitalize on the already popular term cougar. Okay? And can we just relax and not overthink everything? Selecting Cougar as your mascot does not mean that you're suddenly going to see Sharon Stone or Kim Cattrall parading up and down the sidelines in a thong at high school football games. Although that would be so cool. All right, I think we're going to call it good for this edition of the Minor League Radio Podcast. The website is up and running, if a little bland at this point, but it is a work in progress, and I have big plans for that sumbitch. So feel free to leave a comment, good or bad, I can take it. Or you can email me, that's jim@minorleagueradio.com, and if I have time, I will respond. I do want to take a moment and thank some people who have helped me get this up and running. First of all, Kurt Shellpepper, who set up my webpage for $0 an hour. He has a big brain, a big heart, and a tiny penis. Or so I've heard. Once again, thanks to Chris Bowlingmo for letting me use his scathing indictment of the new Van Halen atrocity. And last but not least, one Charles Nasty. He's the voice you hear when you don't hear mine. He's one of my best friends, a radio veteran, and contributes his services as well at a cost of $0 an hour. Chuck Nasty also has a podcast. It's called Mouth Off, and it's hilarious. You can check it out on iTunes. Once again, that's Mouth Off, as in, Chuck Nasty, get your mouth off my cock. I am a complete dumbass when it comes to technology, so my podcast is not on iTunes yet, but it will be soon. In the meantime, that website again, minorleagueradio.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, Auf Wiedersehen!